Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. As we do so, let me remind you that we do based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on the ideological bent of the politicians. It's not based on the dogmas, the rites, the rituals, rules, and regulations of religious organization, but it's based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's based on what we call truth. Truth is the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am truth." Then he declares what truth happens to be. In John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, we need to, as Zechariah chapter 8, verse 6 says, "Speak truth every man to his neighbor." That ought to be our mantra and our motivation, is the truth of the word of God. But as George Orwell said a number of years ago, that the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it hates those that speak the truth. And so I think we're finding that in our society today, unfortunately, it is true more each day. If you don't believe that, just tune in and watch the Kangaroo Court impeachment hearings in Washington. I watched some of that this morning, and I'm saddened to report to you that it is totally lopsided. It is the socialist Marxist Democrats rule, and the Republicans are not having any opportunity to cross-examine properly and or to bring in their own witnesses and or to modulate any of the rules and the regulations that shut them out completely in this farce Kangaroo Court. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that's taking place and understand the need to have greater depth of prayer for our president, for our nation. But let me say before we get into our monologue and discussion of that today, let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about today ingratitude. Ingratitude. Ingratitude happens to be the opposite of thanksgiving. And so why should we be thankful when multitudes, if not most of Americans today, show a heart of unthankfulness or ingratitude? We need to have gratitude, thankfulness before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in a turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own and operate their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner and for the business, hurricane preparedness equipment, and a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff to show you how to operate the equipment that you purchase from them. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag there, 165-foot flagpole with an Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue, dialogue, and discussion today of ingratitude and gratitude, that is thankfulness and why we should be thankful, let me just share a brief little statement from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham says that we need to pray for the President of the United States. Here's an article, brief little statement out of a two-page article, Franklin Graham's statement as of the 14th of November. Graham, this week, as House Democrats held public impeachment hearings, asked again for the prayers for our president. On Twitter, he wrote, this is words from Franklin Graham, "As Christians, as those who fall in trust in Jesus Christ, let us pray throughout the day and all of these proceedings for our nation. Pray for our leaders and pray for the President of the United States." And on Facebook, Franklin Graham said this, "It's a day of shame for America. The media is calling the Democratic-led impeachment inquiry historic, and it is historically shameful that our political politicians would bring this kind of harm to our country over a phone call with the world watching. It's unbelievable. As Christians, as those who follow and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to pray for our president. Pray throughout all of these proceedings. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. And most of all, pray for our president." Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me on the set today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible college and theological professor in Conservative Theological University. And Dr. Phelps, I'm going to ask if you would, let's start our broadcast today by simply praying for our nation, praying for our president, and praying that God would get the glory somehow, some way, out of all that's taking place in Washington with the shenanigans and the attempt to overthrow an elected president of our nation. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Dr. Phelps, if you would.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for a land of freedom. Thank you for the freedoms that we have guaranteed by our Constitution. And we thank you so much for your blessings upon our country and our people. We have so many things for which we should be thankful.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lord, for your protection for our country. And we trust that this will be true until Jesus comes, that we'll enjoy the benefits and blessings of our constitutional republic until the second coming of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for those who have been elected for public office in our country. And we pray for those in Washington, D.C., who have been elected by the people of America. We pray especially now for our president. We pray that you'll rebuke those who bring any threat by intimidation, by character assassination, by false accusation, by slander.
Yes.
Toward our president. We seek your intervention. Yes. In the impeachment inquiry that's now taking place. Please protect our president. We ask for courage, wisdom, and determination for all our leaders who love our country, who want to preserve our constitutional republic and our rights, who honor the electoral system, who honor our form of government, who serve to defend our president at this time. Please help all of those who are serving in this manner. And we ask that you will please be sovereign in all these proceedings. And we say with the psalmist, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." We pray that you will please watch over and help us. Please help our president and those about him. May he have the wisdom and guidance, and may he have the help of those who are the lawyers for his defense. May they be successful. And we pray that you'll be glorified thereby. We pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Phelps, thank you so much for that prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a serious, somber occasion that's taking place in our nation. Don't want it to sound negative, but it is something that is super serious in our nation to see this taking place. So I urge you to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for our president, pray for some of the socialist Marxist Democrats, that God would remove them or that they would be saved.
Yes.
One or the other. There's a need for that in the nation. especially, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about this Thanksgiving season that we're in. And I know that many think about Thanksgiving as only being one day, and many of them call it Turkey Day. Perhaps you've done that. Dr. Phelps, I find it egregious that people refer to Thanksgiving as Turkey Day and look at it only as a day to indulge and stuff themselves on food. But Thanksgiving is far greater than that. Thanksgiving ought to be that season for the Christian in particular that's on an annual basis, year by year, day in and day out. But as we think about it, it's designated on the calendar as the Thanksgiving season. Maybe we think about Thanksgiving today and recognize it and realize that, Dr. Phelps, that so many in our nation are not truly thankful for what God has blessed us with. God's provided America with a great nation, a freedom that is envied around the world, a land of plenty from a great God that loves us and provides for us. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, America should be thankful for God's provision, for his abundance, and especially as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be thankful that we have religious liberties, that God's given us the freedom to preach and teach the Word of God, that we have the privilege of reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Dr. Phelps, I believe and fear that we're witnessing the loss of these great freedoms and liberties in America today. We should be thankful, ladies and gentlemen, for our nation. But I'm fearful that we're not thankful for our nation, and evidence of that is, just read an article that was out of the, Barnard Report or the Pew Research Report that said 51% of Americans polled, especially in the younger generations, 51% said they would prefer socialism. And out of that, one out of three of those said they'd prefer communism for America. And yet they could not identify what those indicators would be and what kind of life you would have. And we find this, we see the rise of socialism among our younger generations today, ladies and gentlemen, because they've not been taught what America's about. Dr. Phelps, most of our younger generation not taught the Constitution. They don't have any idea what the Bill of Rights is about. They have no earthly idea of the difference between socialism, communism, Marxism, all being pretty much out of the same playbook. They don't understand the difference between that and what we see today as a capitalistic republic and what we're doing in our society today. In fact, it's AOC and Bernie Sanders and all of the wannabe president candidates, presidential candidates today, that's rushing headlong towards socialism for America. And I'm reminded with that, Dr. Phelps, of those that do not see what we have. And they're wanting to basically toss in the towel on a great nation and watching these that are the Marxist. I believe Bernie Sanders is simply a pure and simple communist. I don't believe you can call him a socialist. He's a communist. You look at his history and his background, what he loves, the leaders that he's followed, the leaders that he's praised. We have a literal communist under the banner of socialism running today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's causing multitudes to follow after that and basically not being thankful for what we have as a nation. Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, about the 10 men. These 10 men were dying men. These 10 men were helpless men. These 10 men were hopeless. They could do nothing for themselves. They were dying with leprosy. And when you study the scripture, leprosy was then, and in some nations today, an incurable disease. So they were helpless and hopeless. They were wandering about as vagabonds, could not be touched by others, could not come in contact with others. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming, according to the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, at your leisure, look it up, Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. But these 10 men came rushing to Jesus, bowed before Jesus, and says, "Master, have mercy on us." The Lord Jesus did. He healed all 10 of them, according to the scripture. 9 of these men, ladies and gentlemen, simply went away. Only one turned back and said to Jesus, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." In fact, the Bible says of these men, one man fell down on his face at his feet, speaking at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. The majority, 9 out of 10, were simply unthankful, with no gratitude, indicating ingratitude in their hearts. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is what we're finding today in our nation, a nation that is literally unthankful, a nation that shows little, if any, gratitude. In fact, regardless of how much we have in America, there seems to be a feeling of, I want more. I deserve more. In fact, I watch some, Dr. Phelps, I watch some of these ads on television advertising some of the healthcare programs, and they say there will be no copay and the low premium on it, and you can get what you deserve. Now, that shows an indication of the hearts in America of greed and covetousness and ingratitude, that it's something that we feel we deserve. Ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what we deserve hell. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have heaven that is gain, we can gain if we've said yes to Him as Savior and as Lord. This season, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to be thankful. We have a modicum of health, reasonable health. We need to be thankful. We have a Bible, the Word of God. We need to be thankful. We have religious liberties and freedoms in America, our Bill of Rights. And I hammer on that so often on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, because without our Bill of Rights, we would simply be a third world nation. And because we have it codified in that form, we have the protection through the amendments, 27 amendments, and the first 10 of them are basically the greatest ones we can find that I can talk about. But the First Amendment, the religious liberties and the freedom of speech, we have that today. We need to be thankful and not just toss it to the wind and search out and seek out another form of government, as we're finding through the socialist, Marxist, democratic wannabes that want to be president. We have a free nation. We need to be thankful. We're able to worship today. You can go to your house of worship on Sunday, and we need to be thankful that we have that privilege. By the way, at that point, let me just simply say, we invite you to come and worship with us even this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. 9:30 on Sunday morning is the Bible study hour. Some call it Sunday school. 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m., we have worship services that we invite you to come. We've met you all of these years on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. If you're looking for a church home where we honor the Word of God, we stick to the Word of God verse by verse. We look at it as being truly inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. If you're looking for a place where you can study the Word, learn the Word, know the Word, inculcate the Word, apply the Word of God in your heart and life, we'd love to have you. If you're looking for a place where we do not do the rock and roll singing, but we stick to the old gospel songs, if you're looking for a church like that, what we call simply old-fashioned church, and I use that term very carefully, but it literally we're talking about when I use that term, going back to the biblical concept of what is worship and how do you worship. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I just simply, if I can take a moment and tug this in, I believe that God's not honored with a lot that we find today that we call worship. It's a rock and roll service with Jesus attached to it, and I'm adamantly opposed to it. But I want you to know that you're invited to worship with us Sunday morning at 10:45, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock for the Bible study hour, question and answer, Bible question and answer, with a fellowship meal and prayer time. Love to have you in any of those services. But ladies and gentlemen, we have the privilege of worship. We need to be thankful. We still have God as a sovereign God, still seated on His throne. Regardless of what Democrats in Washington do or say, God's still sovereign. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that Jesus Christ is coming soon. The Word of God says so. He's promised it. We believe it. That settles it. We need to be thankful. Dr. Phelps, you and I know that the Bible is filled with commands to give thanksgiving to God. Let me just share a couple of those, and then I'm going to ask you to share with our people some thoughts about thanksgiving. Psalms 105, verse 1. The scripture says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." Dr. Phelps, I don't know what others think about that text, but I find in Psalms 105, verse 1, it is an imperative command. It is a command to give thanks unto the Lord, that we call upon His name. And the thing that most people overlook, I believe, with that little simple verse, make known His deeds among the people. Literally, not only, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're commanded to give thanks to God, but I believe in that text we're commanded to tell the world what God is doing and has done for us, that we're to make known what He has done for His people. Are you telling others about Jesus? Are you telling others about what God has done for you? Are you praising Him? Are you thanking Him? Are you praising God each day for our nation, for our liberties, for our freedoms, and for the for salvation so full and free? We're to tell the world about what God has done is doing and shall do for us. In fact, Dr. Phelps, if I could take another moment before I ask you to get involved in this, in this time together today. In Psalms 105, we had the text that I just shared, but let me just read you the first five verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye all of his wondrous works. Talk ye all of his wonderful works. Glory ye in the holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. Ladies and gentlemen, and then in Psalms 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then we find that throughout the resounding statement throughout the text, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So, Dr. Phelps, the scripture from Genesis through Revelation is replete with the admonition for us to be thankful and give thanks unto the Lord. Dr. Phelps, I believe you've developed a Thanksgiving theme. I call it the alphabets of Thanksgiving, where you talk about A through Z of being thankful to the Lord and why we should be thankful to the Lord. And may I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, you found also in Psalms 136, verse 3, we need to praise and thank the Lord. His love endureth forever, the scripture says. Psalms 118, 29, he is good. Psalms 100, verse 5, his mercy is everlasting. So if I can just kind of tie those three texts together. We're to give thanks to the Lord for his love that endures forever, because he is good and his mercy is everlasting. So Dr. Phelps, share with us your ABCs for Thanksgiving. We'll go partially through that. We'll take a little deviation from that and talk about some other verses, and then come back to your ABCs for Thanksgiving.
One of the things that I find reading the Psalms is that David was a thankful person.
Yes.
Perhaps that's one reason why he was a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
I like what he wrote in Psalm 50. It says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's in verse number 14. But in verse 23, it says, whoso offereth praise, glorify me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. In other words, God is pleased, and God will bless us and prosper us when we are thankful. One of the great things I like to do is to look through the Bible and go from A to Z, all of the vocabulary of our English language, and find out things that God has spoken to us about.
Yes.
And one of those is the matter of thankfulness. We need to be thankful that he accepts us in his beloved Son. In Ephesians 1:6, the Bible says, when I received Jesus, then that God received me into the family of God. So we're accepted. We can feel like that we have a sense of belonging when we're in Christ. Another thing about that is that we are blessed in Christ. We have blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And that means that God's people, God's saints, receive what we could call the pre-planned blessings of God. Some people have a different idea about that, but God plans to bless us when we're in Christ.
Right.
And that's the best place to be. And then he calls me a son, or he calls you a daughter of God. By being born again, I become a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wonderful it is. Another blessing is that he delivers us. He delivers us from the lowest hell. one of the things David was thankful about. In Psalm 86, verse 12, the psalmist said, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And that means because of his mercy, we'll not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
He endues me with power to witness. Luke 24, Jesus told the disciples to wait until they would be empowered, and then they would go out and spread the gospel to the whole world. And that means by his Spirit, God gives us boldness and power to witness. And then God forgives us. One of the blessings of Christians is that we can be forgiven of all our sins, in whom we have redemption. Means in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. I am forgiven and cleansed because of the blood of Christ. And then he gives me eternal life. Yes. God is a great giver. And we receive eternal life by believing in Jesus. I have eternal life by believing in God's Son. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he hears my prayer. What a blessing that is. That's a confidence that we can have, that we can pray and receive in Jesus' name. God instructs me in his ways. Psalm 32, the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. By his inspired word and his indwelling spirit, he teaches us. Then another blessing is that we're justified by faith. Romans 3:26. Because I believe in Jesus, God declares me or you righteous. And that's a great benefit and blessing right there.
Yes, it is.
People are so confused about that. We are justified by believing in Jesus. And then he keeps me in perfect peace. Isaiah 26, thou will keep him in perfect peace. And that's speaking of God's keeping power. He's the God of peace. He keeps us. My mind is stayed upon the God of peace. He loves me with his infinite love. John chapter 17, toward the end of that chapter, God speaks about that love that he had for his Son before the world began. And that's God's eternal love for his Son. But it's also for all who believe on him. God loves us with that infinite love of God. And another thing, the Bible tells us that he makes us glad. I rejoice in the great things God does for me. Psalm 92 is one of the great passages in the Bible that speaks about God's gladness that he gives to us. It says in Psalm 92, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And so you and I have the great privilege then of rejoicing in the Lord. Another thing we know about is he never leaves me nor forsakes me. I never walk alone, as the songwriter once said, for God is with me. Thank God for this fact that his presence is with us even today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news time. We're going to be right back. We're continuing our study today as we talk about ingratitude and why we should be thankful. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Be right back after the news as we continue to Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.